call this special meeting to order, of course, to deal with the agenda that we have before us. I would ask council at this time, have anyone any pecuniary interest they wish to declare? Seeing none, we'll have that noted into the minutes, and certainly during the course of this meeting, if one finds himself in conflict, notification to the chair identifying exactly what the conflict is, and we'll have it entered into the minutes. We have a presentation, of course, by our planning consultant, our planner, relative to the proposed draft plan for a subdivision zoning bylaw amendment for Kingsbridge Phase 5. And with that, Rebecca, I'll turn it to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Hurst, and good evening, Mayor Hurst and members of council. As Mayor Hurst mentioned, the purpose of the public meeting this evening is to consider public comments relating to the proposed draft plan of subdivision approval for Phase 5G for Kingsbridge subdivision. Concurrently, also for consideration this evening, will be zoning bylaw amendment for all of Phase 5 for Kingsbridge. The application for draft plan of subdivision approval is submitted by Flynn Developments. The land subject to the draft plan of subdivision application are 7.1 hectares or 17 acres with a frontage along the west side of Knob Hill Road, approximately 456 frontage on Knob Hill by 1,174 feet located directly south of Brasher Park. The area subject to both applications is designated low-density residential in the Town of Amherstburg official plan. The proposed subdivision consists of 51 lots, which would support 102 semi-detached units. The County of Essex, as the approval authority, has circulated the proposed subdivision and requested that the municipality holds the public meeting based on Section 51 of the Planning Act. The low-density residential policies in the town's official plan allow for residential densities, including single-detached, semi-detached, duplex, and converted dwellings. The majority of the area proposed for draft plan of subdivision approval was previously proposed to be townhomes, consisting of four row dwellings, according to the Kingsbridge Master Plan dated 2010. The proposed zoning bylaw amendment is seeking a zoning change from agricultural zone, holding residential multiple first density zone, and holding residential first density zone, to residential second density zone, and holding residential multiple first density zone. The area subject of the zoning bylaw amendment is 26 hectares or 64 acres. The zoning is intended to facilitate the development of semi-detached homes within the location proposed for a draft plan of subdivision approval and allow for a compound flexible zoning for the rest of the lands to respond to future market conditions. The zoning would support a range of housing types, including single detached dwellings, semi-detached dwellings, and row houses. The town will maintain control over the zoning through future applications for draft plan of subdivision approval. The proposed zoning, which would permit not only singles and semis, but also medium density dwellings, meets the criteria of the town's official plan for this density increase. The current application for draft plan of subdivision will provide a transition in single detached dwellings along Texas Road and Easy Street, with the proposed semi-detached dwelling subdivision and into future phases of possible townhomes. There was formerly a draft plan of subdivision approved for a portion of these subject lands, which lapsed in September of 2009. Phase 5 of Kingsbridge subdivision, which is the larger red area, was always planned for higher density residential uses, including semi-detached and row house dwellings. The proposed plan of subdivision provides for a range of lot depths, which may accommodate a variety of dwelling sizes at different price points. The proposed draft plan of subdivision contemplates a maximum gross residential density of 15 units per hectare, which is within the allowance of 22 units per hectare, permitted by the low-density residential designation in the town's official plan. All of the proposed lots will front onto 20-meter-wide public streets, which connect to Knob Hill Drive. The proposed development will have full municipal water, sanitary, and storm sewer services. The holding provision, which will be placed on the subject lands, will not be lifted by the town until the servicing issues and subdivision agreement are passed by the town. The county is presently seeking the town's endorsement of the proposed draft plan of subdivision and for the town to recommend conditions of draft approval, which will ultimately be incorporated into a subdivision agreement. In response to the circulation to public agencies, the Essex Region Conservation Authority and Greater Essex County District School Board sent correspondence. IRCA had initially recommended deferral of these applications until the developer has an environmental impact assessment and an updated stormwater management report undertaken. On Friday, additional comments were received from IRCA recommending approval of the planning applications and that the studies they are recommending could be completed as part of draft plan conditions. IRCA's comments were discussed with the County of Essex as the approval authority, and Bill King directed the municipality to hold the statutory public meeting for the subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment and obtain public comments, and that these concerns from partner agencies would be addressed as part of draft plan approval by the county. The approval of the draft plan of subdivision is granted for a three-year period, at which time an extension can be granted. The subdivision agreement, which has been used for previous phases of Kingsbridge subdivision, will be reviewed and updated based on the town's development standards manual and in consultation with town administration and public agencies. The related subdivision agreement is not under consideration at this time. The proposed subdivision agreement will be brought forward at a later date for council's approval, along with removal of the holding symbol at that time. The correspondence from the Greater Essex County District School Board, which is part of the package you received tonight, dated September 16th, requested the usual conditions regarding installation of sidewalks and notice on title that students may not be able to attend the closest neighborhood school and could be bused to a distant school with available capacity. The notice of public meeting was published in the local newspaper and circulated to required agencies, property owners, and municipal departments in accordance with requirements of the Planning Act. Based on the public notification, comments were received from town residents, including Gord Freeman. This letter is included in your package tonight. Mr. Freeman questioned the routing of the sanitary for this phase. The sanitary servicing runs to the south to Texas Road. Routing and capacity have been confirmed, and capacity is provided at the upgraded sewage treatment facility. The next item from Mr. Freeman's correspondence asks about whether IRCA was involved with the review of the stormwater management and concerns regarding siltation and stormwater quality treatment. IRCA historically was involved with the review of the stormwater management report. They provided a clearance in 2005. IRCA is now recommending, as part of the draft plan conditions, the requirement to review and update the stormwater management plan. This will look at both quality and quantity requirements. This concern regarding quality and quantity will be addressed by the town and by IRCA. Regarding the comments about the necessity for a traffic light at Knob Hill and Texas Road, matters such as this concern will be discussed with town administration and provided as necessary as part of the subdivision agreement. Sidewalks will be installed based on the town's development standards manual. This will also be included in the subdivision agreement. An email was also sent by Mr. David Ludberg. You have that in your package this evening as well. His email identified concerns relating to reducing and repurposing lands proposed for Kingsbridge Park. The applications before you this evening do not impact the size or location of the park. The park plan which is existing is 8.37 hectares or 20 acres. And this represents 5.14% of the Kingsbridge subdivision lands, which meets the requirements of the Planning Act. No further parkland dedication is required as part of approval of this phase or other phases. It has already been dedicated. In closing, the recommendations before you this evening are that this report be received, that council consider draft plan of subdivision, file number 3070-13003 from Flynn Developments, as shown on the attached schedule during the statutory public meeting, and pending council consideration of the written and oral comments received at this public meeting, that administration be directed to advise the approval authority, the County of Essex, that council supports this application subject to the preparation of satisfactory conditions of draft plan approval and pending council consideration of oral and written comments received at this public meeting, that zoning bylaw 2013-97 be considered at the regular meeting following this public meeting. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Any questions at this time of the planner? Councilor Davies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, it's nice to know that we're going to have further development, although there are a few concerns that I do have. Certainly, I am concerned that there be an adequate park area for the people in the community. What struck me on this design, though, is kind of the classic 1960s suburb look. But, you know, we're trying to encourage people to walk more, bicycle ride more. And from what I can tell, it would be really hard for a lot of the people to easily get in and out of this park other than by car. And I'm wondering if there's been any consideration for a walking path or some kind of way that bicyclists and pedestrians can get from A to B halfway through. Otherwise, I have to go all the way far east, all the way far west, and it's not. I don't think it adds to easy in and out access. You talked about the children trying to walk to school or bicycle to school. I think that would also ease it. I think we have to keep considering the fact that we need to be having more pedestrians, and these designs, although quite attractive and a lot of houses in a small area, doesn't necessarily complement pedestrian movement as much as it could. So I'm hoping that as one point they'll take that into consideration, that there be some breakup in the design so they could easily access the park without having to go all the way one way, all the way the other way to get to it. I think would enhance the neighborhood and it would attract more people to want to be more active.
Make a notation relative to that?
Yes, I will, yes.
Okay. Councilor Puja.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, Mr. Nelson from the Watershed Planner, he had requested an addendum that explains what changes specifically have occurred with updated revision to this report. Has he been supplied with that report?
Yes, IRCA is requesting an update to the previous stormwater management reports. One was done in 1999, the other one in 2005. And their subsequent correspondence from Friday identified that they felt that could be addressed as part of draft plan conditions. So those studies, which is an environmental impact assessment and a stormwater management report, will be requirements by the county as part of the draft plan approval.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you.
Rebecca, you talked about the environmental impact study being done at a later date. So two questions on that. Exactly when in the process would that be required? And also going back, wouldn't that have been a requirement when the first draft approval was brought before that council of the day?
You'll be able to tell looking at what's proposed before you this evening, the lotting plan, that in fact you can see the edge of the vegetation lying to the southwest of the proposed draft plan. So I think that Although there's a master plan done for this, the natural heritage feature is adjacent to the Flynn properties. And so I think it was never triggered because it's actually outside of the master plan area, but still within the trigger area of the provincial policy statement to trigger the need for an environmental impact assessment. So I noticed it actually and asked Bill King about it. And he said, well, hold the statutory public meeting and we'll ask for it to be one of the studies that has to be done. But they are adjacent land issues. And I know that Flynn Developments has already retained a biologist and they've already done an issue scoping report to scope the issues with respect to an environmental impact assessment.
That's precisely the reason why that was not done at that time, because
gotcha.
It was outside.
That makes sense.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, to Rebecca. Rebecca, the environmental study you're talking about, does that include the wildlife and endangered species in that area?
Through you, Mayor Hurst, to Councilor DePasquale, it does look at everything. It looks at wildlife, vegetation, endangered species, yes.
I think the sooner we get to the applicant and the public, it's going to be more questions, provided you'll have an opportunity to raise them at the end of that. Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor.
It's
Hurst.
A public meeting. I want you to understand that.
I didn't have that question.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst, through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, could we go back to number two of Mr. Freeman's question? Where will the stormwater be directed? I didn't understand that part.
The majority of the stormwater will be directed to the pond to the north. This area that's dedicated for stormwater management here. However, there is a requirement to relook at, update, and confirm the routing and the quantity and even quality. That will be a requirement just to revisit that.
As a supplementary, Mayor Hurst, as a supplementary.
I heard you, go ahead.
Okay. Further to that, so the silt won't be going directly into the Detroit River?
No, absolutely not, no.
Okay. And Melissa Sinisak had, she objected. To the units behind or behind Easy Street, and she wanted to receive info on this property and plans to follow. With living on Easy Street for over 8 years, she'd like to know where all the wildlife and endangered species would go. Is that what you were referring to, that area, right? Was that Easy Street that you were referring to, that you were doing they were doing a study on that?
Through you, Mayor Hurst. This individual did come in about 20 minutes ago and wrote this out, so I'm sorry I didn't have a response to this prepared, but I did just receive this about 20 minutes ago. The area that I suspect, well, the area that's required for the environmental impact assessment would be a natural heritage feature larger than 2 hectares. That's what triggers an environmental impact assessment. If you take a look right now at what I've projected upon the screen, this would be the only thing that could be considered a natural heritage feature that has triggered IRCA's recommendation for the environmental impact assessment. Mrs. Sinisak lives over right here on Easy Street. That's her address, but this is the requirement for an environmental impact assessment here, this natural feature.
Okay. Councillor Davies, please.
As a follow-up, we can't give her an answer right now as what will take place behind her home. We don't know that just yet.
Through you, Mayor Hurst. She lives on Easy Street, and that's where the draft plan of subdivision is proposed, is this blue area behind her house, which is an agricultural area presently.
But her question regards the wildlife.
We don't know, an environmental impact assessment hasn't been completed yet, but they have begun an issue scoping report to look at wildlife utilization of the area, yes.
Councillor Davey, you had your hand up.
Yes, I did, Mr. Mayor, and I'm happy to hold back until the public have had an opportunity to ask questions. It may clarify what I want to ask, otherwise I'll ask it later.
Yes, I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. We have now the presentation by the applicant. It's an opportunity for you to come before council, and I'm sure what you may disclose may allay some of the concerns that the public that is here may have this evening.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst, members of council. Jay McGuffin, principal planner, Monty Brown Planning Consultants. It's a pleasure to be here this evening with you. I'm just going to take this moment just to pull up a couple of plans behind council, just so that I've got a large reference to refer to the public with. And perhaps I can just sort of expand, if you will, rather than doing a formal presentation. Rebecca did an excellent job in summarizing our application package and the proposed development, and as well as responding to a number of the questions of council and the public. Perhaps I'll go through just to supplement some of the questions that came forward, and then I can reserve any further discussion to responding to questions of council and the public after the public has had an opportunity to speak. Just following through, Councillor Davies had requested information about adequate park and connectivity. I believe there's probably a little bit of a misconception based on just looking at the plan of subdivision itself. With respect to pedestrian linkages and connectivity, we look at the most preferred method of development would be the grid form pattern to provide for pedestrian linkage and distribution of pedestrian thoroughfares through a subdivision, which is actually what has been proposed. And to draw council's attention, if we take a look at the proposed subdivision, this darker shaded portion of gray in this particular location is the actual plan of subdivision. This would amount to, the distance between these two proposed streets would amount to 8 building lots in a traditional plan of subdivision. So providing opportunities for pedestrian access within 8 building lots of one another is not an extreme distance for people required to traverse by foot in terms of having permeability into the park, etc. And then we would have a traditional 3 building lot in this particular location between these two street accesses. So what you'll notice, members of council and members of the public, is that what's proposed is actually a very compact urban form that does provide for connectivity and linkage into Thrasher Park. With request regard to the request for updated SWIM report, that information has been put forth back to our engineer through our client. And as Rebecca had mentioned, there had been significant stormwater management studies when the original master plan for Kingsbridge was put forward, and all of the development that has been occurring through the multiple phases that have happened to date have all been occurring in accordance with those approved stormwater plans. So there, you know, through the municipality and through our client's engineer, we will be able to respond to any additional information that the Conservation Authority may have. We do understand that some of that information may be new to the actual staff at the Conservation Authority that are reviewing the applications today versus those that may have reviewed it historically in the past. With respect to natural heritage, as Rebecca quite appropriately identified, there are no designated natural heritage features in this part of the community in your official plan. So when you take a look at your official plan mapping that identifies on the ground what is a natural heritage feature, the mapping is blank. My understanding is that it was an issue with respect to species at risk that is triggered, as well as sort of, I guess, the scope of the size of the woodland that exists just sort of to that southwest corner, just abutting onto that property. The scoping report that Rebecca referred to was provided to the municipality on Friday with respect to the preliminary investigation undertaken by the biologist retained by our client. and the only thing identified was a potential risk for species at risk being a garter snake. In order to actually complete the environmental impact assessment, they're going to want to review the detailed grading and stormwater management design to understand how the grading of the property is going to occur, which makes it appropriate to be dealt with at the time of a condition as we work through that more detailed work. With regard to stormwater management, again, Rebecca did a great job responding to where things are going. The most of the development is moving to that approved pond that's already built and in place to the north, which outlets to the White Drain. The purpose of that pond is to control stormwater management for quantity and for quality. It's got siltation detention, and it's designed to actually improve the quality of water to pre-development flow before it reaches the outflow. With respect to this portion of the property, this portion will actually extend down McClellan to the existing stormwater pond in this particular location. So about 22 units are going to head to the east. The remaining lands are going to head north and west through the existing drain that's already been constructed. And with respect to comments received from the owner that lives on Easy Street, I believe the name was Sinisac. That information was just made available to us. I understand in reading the correspondence, there's two concerns primarily. One is they don't want to see semi-detached dwellings, and the other one is something to do with species at risk. The initial scoping report we have from our biologist indicates that the entire subject lands is farmed for active field crop production, and that there are no issues of species at risk actually on the subject lands. The issues with regard to species at risk have to do with the lands abutting and making sure that none of those creatures, if there are any, make their way onto the development site. And so it's a matter of installing mitigation measures. I think that summarizes responses to the questions that we've had to date, and I'd be willing to answer and entertain any questions of council and the public.
Thank you very much. And with that, I will open it up to the public that are here. I want to remind everyone that are here to ensure that you sign your name to the attendance sheet. And anyone who wants to speak certainly will be acknowledged by raising their hand, and I would ask that you would state your name so that we can have it on record. Anyone in the public have any questions they want to ask at this time? Yes.
Yes, my name is Dale Horton. I live on White Crescent. I'm just curious about the design aspects of these dwellings. Will we have a say in whether we can approve or disapprove of them based on our own homes and what we pay for them? What goes in can affect our home values.
Fair question.
Would you like that response from me, Mr. Mayor, or from the town's planner?
Well, the town planner would respond to that.
Through you, Mayor Hurst, to Mr. Horton. You were questioning about the ability to approve of the aesthetics of
how much. How much say would we have, essentially, once a design is proposed? Because anything that goes in will ultimately affect positive or negative the value of our homes.
His concern is that most people have when we are having development near around individuals who are already located there, will they in any way have an impact, a negative impact, on the price of their homes in that area? And it's going to be mixed development, is what he's suggesting.
There typically wouldn't be the ability for individuals in the subdivision to have comment opportunity for aesthetics unless the developer wants to respond, but once the subdivision agreement is in place and the zoning, there typically aren't further public processes.
But I think, having regard for the experience you've encountered, have you had situations where people who have homes constructed in subdivisions and then we have another phase coming in, have they impacted on the value of those particular houses that are in that vicinity, is the question that he's asking.
If you will, Mr. Mayor, I guess at fundamental levels, just to remind council that as a land use planner and under the Planning Act, that land value does not play into the decision-making process. Just as in any traditional subdivision, a homeowner or a home purchaser that arrives to purchase a lot has a right to go in and obtain a building permit, and the municipality only has so many controls available to it at that time of the issuance of building permit on what a home looks like, and it has to meet the requirements of code. If somebody wants to put green shingles on their home, there's not much that council can do about it without entering into certain other types of planning controls that are well above the scope of a traditional subdivision. So having said that, what I can do is I can provide information back to the public that this is a development, this is a phase of development within the grander master plan for Kingsbridge. I've been instructed that the target market for this particular location is being geared to active seniors, and it is going to be in keeping with the scale and the aesthetic of the entire Kingsbridge subdivision. There are still many, many phases left for sale and development in this particular development, and if it gives the public any greater assurances, the applicant is not going to do anything that would hamper their ability to continue to have good growth and good sales and get good return on the product on a go-forward basis on any additional lands that are coming forward. So I think that the public should be able to take some great comfort in that, in terms of we're only partway through a very long process of development.
I think that's the answer he was looking for. Anyone else? Yes. Go ahead. Please. I'm looking right at you, yes.
Yeah,
no, there's nobody behind you. You. Please.
Would it be possible, Ms. Belanger, to get the master site plan for Kingsbridge?
Could you just state your name for
it? My name is Chris Aspel.
Sure, thanks.
I'm a Board of Public President. And my employer requires me to give a disclaimer. I'm a registered professional planner for the City of Windsor. And any views that I express are my own personal views and do not reflect the City of Windsor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Had the opportunity to speak with...
Chris, would you be kind enough to spell your last name for us, please?
Aspela, Alpha, Sierra, Papa, India, Lima, Alpha. Alpha.
Thank you.
So I've had the opportunity to speak with several of my neighbors, and generally we like the idea of a mixture of housing types and tenures in Kingsbridge. I sort of suspected that this was going to be targeted towards older active seniors, and that's encouraging because many of us have retired family members. And I want to touch on the demographics of the Kingsbridge area that I'm not sure that you're aware of. Through my job at the city, I'm in charge of demographics for the city, and I'm also required to be aware of the demographics for all of the County of Essex. I'm intimately aware of the demographics in Kingsbridge subdivision. Kingsbridge has one of the highest income levels in the entire County of Essex. So there's about 1,400 dissemination areas in the County of Essex. Kingsbridge is in the top 8. Kingsbridge also has the highest education levels attained in the County of Essex. It's once again in the top 8. Also has the highest number of young children in the County of Essex. Most of the people who live in Kingsbridge are not historically from the County of Essex. We've moved from other parts of Ontario. The majority of us work in Windsor. We live in Amherstburg because we choose to live in Amherstburg. Now, with that being said, you've got a very, very nice potential market for commercial activity in this area. We have a concern. There's a lack of sidewalks in the existing part where most of us live, in McClellan, White, Higgins, and Petty Peaks. That's one issue. Walkability, as Councillor Davies raised, is a key issue. Now, if we go to the master plan for Kingsbridge, you'll notice there's only one destination to walk to in the entire subdivision, and that's the park. Generally walkable an acceptable walkable distance for people is about 800 meters from where they live. We'd like to see Kingsbridge become a complete community with neighborhood commercial and neighborhood institutional uses. If we're looking to attract an aging senior population in combination with a vibrant, established group of young, educated, wealthy, professional families in this subdivision, then we need to see that. The challenge that we face in Kingsbridge and Amherstburg is because a large majority of the population are not from this area. What incentive is there going to be to stay in this area 10 to 20 years from now if we don't see those amenities in Kingsbridge? We see those in the other parts of Amherstburg, and that's what makes them very vibrant, walkable, healthy communities. Downtown, for example, fabulous parks, neighborhood commercial uses, neighborhood institutional uses. You can walk to a store. One of the planning tools that we use, which was brought up at an Ontario Professional Planners Institute conference up in Alliston, Ontario several years ago, is called the Popsicle Test. I'm not sure how many of you have heard the Popsicle Test. The Popsicle Test is, can a young child, say 6 to 8 years old, of which there are many in Kingsbridge, walk to a corner store, buy a popsicle, and walk home before the popsicle melts? Right now in Kingsbridge, we can't do that. If we want to get a bag of milk, we either have to drive north to Edgewater to the convenience store, or south to Max Milk, or further into town. The Max Milk, if you've ever walked from Kingsbridge to the Max Milk, that's about a 45-minute walk. Is that walkable for older people? For seniors? Some perhaps, others not. It's definitely not walkable for a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old. So I'd like to raise that to your attention. What we really want to see in the future phases of Kingsbridge, and this is targeted to council and the developer and the builders, is neighborhood commercial and neighborhood institutional. So whether it's convenience stores, whether it's hairdressers, whether it's various professional offices, there's a schooling issue, the capacity at Anderton. Most of the kids are bused to Anderton. I don't know about you, but I used to walk to school, and everyone in my generation, my parents' generation, pretty much walked to school unless they lived out in the country. We have a lot of school buses every morning and every afternoon in Kingsbridge. That's a challenge. Now, I recognize that's also beyond this council's control because the school boards are involved also. So, I've raised my points. The summary is Kingsbridge needs walkable destinations. And I would like to invite mayor, members of council, and administration to get a resident's perspective. If you'd like, I'd be happy to set up a walking tour of Kingsbridge for your benefit.
Been there many times. You know exactly what you're talking about, and I hope you understand that development there was out in farmland. And so you can't expect those things in farmland. It's got to be able to grow and gravitate to that. There has to be a market. It's no different than on the 8th, or I should say County Road 10, and of course the second concession where they have a development there and looking for tenants to come in for a variety store, those types of things. It all takes time. However, I see Rebecca, our planner, making notations of that, and at the appropriate time she'll deal with those particular things. We understand and appreciate exactly what you're saying. Those are some of the things that are going to have to be used and implemented to make that an attraction, as you said, to keep people in the area in which they have located.
And did I also mention that we're benefited housing values and the taxes?
Anything you do as an incentive like that certainly will. We'll appreciate that, Chris. Thank you. This lady back here.
Mm-hmm. Council. My name is Colleen Cousins, and I live at 16 Easy Street. I just had a letter with a few concerns that I'd like to read. Please be advised that the residents of Easy Street are opposed to the proposed amendment to the zoning bylaw 199952. The north side of Easy Street was developed as an R1 zone, with the understanding that future development to the north was also to be developed as R1. We believe that the area currently zoned HR1 should remain R1, and that the eastern portion of the area currently zoned A should also be zoned R1. To permit the rezoning of the land to the immediate north and to the west of our fully developed street will significantly depreciate the value of our properties. We do not feel that RM1 development, such as duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and row housing, is compatible with the current development, which consists of single-family detached homes. The town's official plan recognizes the negative impact that RM1 development would have on an existing R1 area. 4.2.3.3 states, in established low-density residential areas, the indiscriminate mixing of different housing types should not be permitted in the interest of protecting the stability of the existing neighborhood. Any RM1 development in the proposed area should certainly be buffered from all existing single-family homes. This could be achieved through a greenbelt and R1 development abutting all existing R1 lots. I request that you keep me informed on any further hearings or decisions regarding this proposed amendment. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Colleen, for that presentation.
And I also have an attached list signed by my neighbors on Easy Street.
Certainly, you can make that available, please. Dave?
Thank you, Mayor Hirsch and Council. The existing master plan has designated the area west of the park as RM1. And I'm wondering what planning issues have recommended moving that. Why is not that area RM1 developed first instead of moving the RM1 down to an existing R1 area? The area RM1 should be fully developed before any RM1 is expanded. I believe the area south of the park should never become RM3. Sorry, RM1. South of the park is abutting an existing R1 area and it's fully developed. That area should remain R1, which it currently is. It's an HR1. The homeowners on Easy Street have bought and developed based on the understanding that the abutting property to the north was also zoned R1. And if you look at the layout of the previous subdivision for that area, they had a total of 3 rear yards butting onto their properties. Now it's 7 yards butting onto their properties. The zoning requirements of RM1 are not compatible with R1, with smaller lots, smaller yards, greater lot coverage, and smaller dwelling areas. I have a question. Is the subdivision that's being proposed, would it fall within the requirements of an R2 zone? If it would fall within an R2 zone, why are we making it RM1? Because down the road, I can see sitting on the committee of adjustment, some of these lots coming, being merged together, they're going to say to us, well, it's zoned RM1. I've now put in a row house, which is anything 3 or up. So it could be a row house 8, 9, 10 houses long, 10 units long. So it certainly should not become RM1. And why is it RM1 instead of R2? If it falls within R2.
Well, Well, that would be a question that will be responded to. You just raise your question, Dave. It's no different than you coming to a committee of adjustment. Put them out there and they'll respond.
A particular concern, if I was living at 20 Easy Street, that unfortunate resident will have 5 rear yards backing onto his property. 5. To assist the developer, during the past summer, I have cut my daughter's lawn 3 times, and I can tell you, I have, unfortunately, run over them, but there are at least 3 fox snakes that are living in the cornfield. There's a large pile of debris at the rear of her property, and they live in there. So there are endangered species on the site. In conclusion, I do not feel that the subdivision proposal and rezoning should be approved. It does not take into consideration the current R1 development and residence. As confirmed by our official plan, R1 development will have a negative impact on existing R1 areas, and the indiscriminate mixing of different housing types should not be permitted in the interest of protecting the stability of existing neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Certainly. This gentleman in the back?
James Fox, Logan Bullen.
Could you, give you name? Could you repeat your name again, please, for us?
James Fox.
Sorry, which access road is that?
You're coming off the Knob Hill. You've got property between your road and the park.
Are you referring to this area right here?
Yeah.
That's municipal right of way.
Okay. So that's going to be annexed onto the park then?
Well, no, it'll be part of the municipality's right of way.
That's part of the park that's there right now?
With a sidewalk there, yeah.
Yeah.
There,
it'll be a municipal ownership. It won't be part of the park. It'll be part of the right of way, which
it will be maintained by the town.
Okay.
But it is municipal property.
The left of the picture, the darker green, does that signify something that darker color?
That's an existing drain. No, I don't. Is it a municipal drain?
Temporary drain.
That's an existing temporary drain of the stormwater management.
The only other question I have now for you is for the council. When you did the extension of Knob Hill from McClellan to Wayland, if I remember correctly, this is a while back, the city financed that because we wanted it basically as residents, and the developer didn't have the money to do it. And as I remember, developers are supposed to pay us back as they develop that subdivision. Are we going to be getting some money towards that extension of Knob Hill?
I don't believe he heard the response there.
I say we pay yearly on that. So we'll pay for it with interest.
Okay, so does the whole property change ownership then?
Has that property changed ownership?
Because last time the subdivision was being expanded, it was Mr. Doherty. And I understood that he owned the property and that he was responsible for paying the back.
We are as well owners of that property as Mr. Doherty.
Okay, I didn't know that exactly.
That's why we're here. Michael Dunn.
Any other questions of the public? Excuse me, is anyone here that hasn't spoke yet? Please.
My name is Haney Schmont. I live at 35 Cambridge Court, and with all due respect, I do have a little green boots. So anyways, I have a few questions. With respect to the high density type of setup that would be planned there, so close to the park, and forcing all the access to the park basically off of Knob Hill, from what I understand, that there isn't going to be any access directly from the new subdivision to the park unless they go through Knob Hill. Is there like a traffic study that's required to be done considering the increased number of traffic that's going to be happening on Knob Hill? Is that a requirement?
Please.
This is a further phase. As you know, of the master plan that was already completed, and I just confirmed with the owner the traffic study was previously completed.
But did it take into consideration twice as many people living in that small area that would have been lived otherwise before this change?
No, but no.
So was that traffic study still applicable?
If I may, Mr. Mayor. That traffic study was done and looked at the entire development to its entire build-out. We're only at preliminary phases, and there are requirements in any traffic study down the road, once traffic reaches certain thresholds, that the municipality monitors that updates to traffic studies are completed. The proposal in this particular location is actually significantly less than what was actually originally proposed immediately west of the park. So I think that answers that, and I'll reserve responses to some of the other stuff, Mr. Mayor, until you're ready to hear me.
But I think it's important that you understand it's your application here, and the question that are being posed is certainly when it first was initiated, those were the studies that were taken in the event all of these phases have been implemented.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the question and the response he's been asking.
That's irrelevant. Yeah, the facts have changed.
That's all he's asking.
Well, in terms of the relevancy, Mr. Mayor, as I mentioned, at some point in time, the municipality will likely come back. I don't have the findings of that traffic study. Both Rebecca and I are at the disadvantage of coming into this phase that's been ongoing for, I understand, close to 20 years now. But what I'm trying to articulate is that the traffic study that was done for significantly greater development than what's being proposed through this application. That traffic study was done that contemplated the entire build-out of the entire development of Kingsbridge.
And you will make that traffic study available?
The municipality should have that.
Yeah. Rebecca.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Hurst. Jay, could you flip back to the maybe the master plan? As Jay mentioned, that's not the one actually, but the zoning change initially... the zoning that we're looking at north of Easy Street was a proposed cul-de-sac with singles on it, but to the west of that was all proposed to be high-density townhomes, like four units. So as Jay is saying, in fact, it's a lesser density that's being proposed this evening for west of Easy Street and west of what was to be a cul-de-sac. So there will be, in fact, less people moving through the proposed streets.
Yeah, but that also had the park being at a different location than where it is now, where there's going to be lots of small children abutting this high-density area. Because I've lived there for over 10 years, and the proposed park has moved around to different parts of the sub-development to where it is now. I've seen other ideas that had it in the west. I've seen ideas that had it much being like two parks. The original plans that I've seen have changed over the years, and it's not what it is now. But anyways, so that's, I don't want to belabor the point. That's just my concern, one of my concerns. And if I can ask some more questions.
Sure, go ahead.
I forget things after recording. My neighbor here on the other side of Kingsbridge, he was talking about having a say in what the homes are going to look like. I don't know what the current plans are, and I'm not very familiar with all technicalities. Everybody's talking about R1, M2, all this stuff. But I understand, though, there is a minimum square footage that's required to build a home in Kingsbridge. And I don't know if it's the same for north and south, but I think it isn't 1,500 square feet or something like that. And will these new homes be subject to that minimum square footage? And if not, what size can they build?
From my perspective, the information I have available from the planning justification, the building envelopes would be required based on just the delineation within the required setbacks of the zoning.
I don't know what that means. I'm not a planner, I'm an accountant. So these homes, are they subject to the 1,500 square feet? If that's what it is, I don't know what the rule is.
Do we know exactly what is the minimum of square footage he's asking?
Mayor Hurst, I don't have that information
Can
available
Can we get
now.
That information?
I think Jay would like to respond to this,
you
if
do that,
you don't
Jay?
Mind.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mayor Hurst, all my information is in meters squared. The If you look at the R2 zoning, and in any zoning bylaw, just to take everybody back to a planning 101, the minimum square footage looks at the lot area per unit. Semi-detached dwellings, 310 square meters, is what the zoning requires. What's been proposed is 326 square meters. So everything that's been proposed by the applicant exceeds the minimum standards established through the zoning bylaw. And when we say minimum standards, it's not to suggest that they're going to the smallest of the small. What that is terminology employed, or the nomenclature associated with zoning, that talks about setting the standards. So what is the minimum lot area coverage? What is the minimum unit size? What is the minimum frontage? We'll talk about 40-foot lots or 50-foot lots. That's the minimum that that zone would permit. Everything that's been proposed fits within that predetermined zoning that's been established as the performance standards for the town of Amherstburg.
What was the square meters? Sorry.
326.
What is the unit that you're asking for size for? Are you wanting a single detached dwelling?
Four.
460 meters squared in an R2 zone is the minimum. If it's a semi-detached, now this is for lot area. I've only got lot area per unit at 310 square meters.
No, let them finish.
And I haven't done a comprehensive zoning comparative on things that we didn't actually apply for, Mr. Mayor. I'd have to refer back to the comprehensive zoning bylaw to be able to respond to those questions.
Did that help you with regards to the size and square
not
footage?
Not really, I know I'll have to do some math when I get home. But are we changing the rules for this subdomain, or are we just applying the existing rules?
We're applying the existing rules that are predetermined as the standards established by the zoning board.
Yeah, okay. And I don't want to be one of the people that talks about, you know, not my backyard, but if the original plan had these semis, let's call them what they are, somewhere more to the west, as I just heard, than where they are now. So there would be some of that, I think somebody referenced the term Greenville, some sort of buffer area, I forget who it was. And to me, that sounds kind of like what they did in Gulfview, which is on the other side of Essex Road number 10. When they developed Gulfview, they built homes much like ours, and then they added semis, but those semis were way more east, and it seemed to be like a little bit of a buffer area. They seem to be growing together now, but there seemed to be a separation between the semis and the homes that were already established with their single family homes. Why wouldn't we just follow the same idea here instead of sticking them right next to a park where there's going to be lots of traffic and behind really big lots that already existed that didn't expect them to happen behind? Why don't we just still follow the original plan? That's my question.
Anyone else? Dave?
Could we put the subdivision plan back up, please? Comment on that. If the council was considering passing this, I would certainly hope they would at least consider lots 1 through 9 remain R1. Those are the ones that abut Knob Hill and abut Easy Street. And I believe I have the information in the previous question. The dwelling areas permitted R1. The minimum area is 90 meters squared, and if this is rezoned RM1, it drops to 60 meters, so it would be 50% less.
That's 7 yeah.
So RM1 is 50% less.
And I'm one of those people, my home's like 2,400 square feet, and it's right across the street from a house that's like 1,500 square feet. So I know he's meeting the requirements, but when you talk about mixed use, like, you just don't want to have these houses right next to each other. It's ridiculous that you're going to have these, you know, some of those houses, I'm sure, are like 2,500 square feet, and now they're going to be next to a home that's 600 square feet, with no buffer zone or any sort of green belt, which is the term that I heard. It made sense with the original plan when they were more or less, but it doesn't make sense now.
But I think one of the things that the province is promoting is mixed dwelling here. So don't try to get away from that. I can understand and appreciate the type of houses you build, but there's others that don't want big houses.
Oh, I totally
and
understand.
And so that happens, you know. And so those are the things that you're going
to
have to learn to.
You have to have commercial, like he was talking
yeah,
about.
Well, of course.
But you need to follow your plan.
Of course. Yes, Rebecca.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. In fact, the low-density residential designation in the town's official plan does allow for densities, including semi-detached. So this request is not a departure from mm-hmm. that. As well, this would not be considered a mix of housing because it's completely semi-detached. And the master plan from 2010 was supporting the majority of what you're looking at right now for townhomes. For four units in there as well.
Thank you. Just before I ask council if they have any further questions to the applicant, have you got anything else you'd like to?
Actually, I think Rebecca just covered off most of the points that I was going to address. Just if I could to expand your official plan, Mayor Hirst, actually promotes this type of location with the activity node established by Thrasher Park as being an area that can accommodate differences in densities. The official plan is very clear and very specific that when you're going to consider a mix of densities, that you look at specific locations such as this, sitting adjacent to Thrasher Park and adjacent to Knob Hill Drive, which for all intents and purposes is the predominant collector, North-South Road through Kingsbridge. These are the locations that support this, and semi-detached, as Rebecca so correctly identified, is not high density. Just for correction, so that everybody has nomenclature proper in their mind, high density speaks to densities well above 75 units per hectare. We are nowhere near that. 75 to 150 units per hectare, in fact. We are on the very low end of low density in terms of the densities that have been proposed. And in fact, this is a particular area that if you were going to look at what should be done here, semi-detached housing is an excellent transition use, which is typically used in good land use planning, to start to transition from one level of intensity into the next level of intensity. Thank you, Mayor Hirst. If you have any more questions, I'd be willing to respond.
This lady in the back, if you would.
Maureen Byrne, and I live on Front Hill North. And I have a big concern about the storm management or storm water management and the sewage capacity for such a new subdivision. And it says in the letter that was sent out to the residents, the holding provisions will not be removed until sewage capacity becomes available. Now, I want to know in terms of the process, because I've noticed over the last 10 years, since a lot of the Kingsbridge has developed, that the water coming off those agricultural fields towards the White Drain has increased tremendously. And my house twice has been an island simply because the water floods off those fields from Knob Hill. And I just have major concern that if it's already increased. My yard is full of silt sometimes because my property is sitting a little bit lower than the field.
Whereabouts are you on Front Road?
I'm Front Road North, and if you put up that very first map, I'm right between where the old Anderton property was and the field. No, the very first one that has almost like
a... I don't have access to those.
So I'm on the east side of the White Drain. If you look on the left side where Front Road goes down, you'll see halfway down the white space with a road going back, that's me. Okay? And so it's all cornfields behind me coming down from the park. And in the last 10 years, the water has increased dramatically. Now, a few years back, I did have a town in to have a look at it when my hydro lines were actually flooded out. Hydro called the town, and they dug a small swale for me. But now, the water overflows that lagoon sometimes and literally just has pitched right over that swale. So it's a major concern. And if, you know, that's the little bit of development that's there. I can't even imagine with all of this new stuff going in. So I want to know, does council approve that draft before all of that stormwater management reporting stuff comes in from IRCA? Or do you wait until all that stuff is in place and then approve it? Or does this all get approved pending, you know, sewage?
What's the site plan control? Go ahead.
I'm very concerned about it.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Hurst. The request this evening is to just conceptually endorse. The county is asking us to hold a public meeting and to just conceptually endorse the concept of this draft plan of subdivision. The follow-up is that these studies and requirements of the county are put in place, and the town has the opportunity to put forward what we think the draft conditions should be, which you've heard several of those things tonight. So it's just a conceptual endorsement for the subdivision this evening. And the other thing, too, there is sewage capacity available. That's not an issue. It's just a matter of putting it in the draft conditions in the subdivision agreement.
Okay, just one more little thing.
Sure, go ahead.
In terms of the wildlife, I'd like to know who did the survey, because on my property, I have 11 deer, I have 5 stag and 6 goat that are resident in those cornfields that are there all year round. I have 2 red fox, and I have a complete coyote family, and there are literally hundreds of the eastern fox snake all through the white drain area. So it's an endangered, not an endangered, a threatened species.
It was that way long before any. It was that way long before any houses came there too.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, there's lots of wildlife there.
Yeah. Okay, Councilor Davis.
Thank you.
We've got another meeting
coming
up here. Yes, I know.
I tried to point things. I think the public has asked many important questions
that will be dealt with.
And I'll try to be very as brief as I possibly can, but a whole bunch of really critical issues that were on my mind have been raised. I'll start with the woman with the menagerie in her backyard. And as you know, as we crowd things, those animals don't know boundaries and will move out, and then people will be complaining because they've got a fox in their backyard and wonder why that happens. So we do have to take these issues seriously and into consideration. The point about the flooding, I did raise a while ago climate change adaptability strategies, which got defeated, and I'm hoping it will come back. But in fact, my concern is that when developers are going into properties, that when they are doing the properties, they're designing them so that much of the rain runoff will never have to go to a drain, because it'll be much more absorbable materials that will go into the each individual property, and nature will carry away a lot of it, so we don't need to use the drains. And I'm hoping that with the best practice guidelines that we're using for development now, that that will be taken into consideration to the quality of fill you have in the yards of the homes that you develop. A gentleman talked, and I strongly support the whole concept. What you're really talking about is urban design, urban village, where people will be able to walk to their most needs, so they don't have to get into a car and get to where they need to go. You don't start it with, well, this is only one subdivision, but in fact, the greater plan should work out, where would a school be if we bring in 400 more children down the road, which may very well happen? Where would a community center or a health center go? Where would a grocery store or a convenience store go so people can bicycle or walk to it? These are not new ideas. These have been around for at least 35, 40 years in a number of places. And certainly Jane Jacobs and other folks have been talking about this for since I was a young student. So I think we really have to make sure we're plugging it in, even though that may not happen for 5, 10, 15 years. We've got to work that into each individual plan. Otherwise, it gets gobbled up. But, oh, well, not this time because this is too small. Well, in the greater scheme, you have to figure, where would that convenience store go in 2 years? Where would that pond go? Where would that play area go? Where will the animals corridor to?
Councillor Davies.
Okay, and that's all I have to say, I guess.
Okay. Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, just a few comments. There are some areas that are concerned to me, but it sounds like we can work them out, and I think that if we're going to approve this conceptually,
understand this is conceptually. That's what
conceptually.
It is.
I understand that, and that's what I mean. If we're going to do it, let's move on with it.
Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I guess just if this is supported conceptually, is there still more public meetings? Will the public get their opportunity to voice opinions?
Rebecca.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. This is the, for the draft plan of subdivision, this is the statutory public meeting. And same thing for the zoning bylaw amendment. However, future phases of phase five, there will be further public meetings as well.
Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. And I will support this as long as it's just conceptually. But really, we do need the answers regarding the sidewalks, the drainage, the park access, the traffic study, especially the traffic study. And I am concerned about the fact that Mr. Cousins brought us about the 1-9 homes and the rear yards now having five rear yards attached to them. So if we could address that and his request for the 1-9 homes on Easy Street. And Councillor Davies brought up the rest of my concerns, so thank you.
On the meeting we've had so far, the report and the recommendation, what's Councillor's pleasure? Councillor Sutton.
Move receipt of the report and items 2, 3, and 4 is listed.
There is support for that motion. Councillor DePasquale, I think we've had enough discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been moved by Councillor Sutton, supported by Councillor DePasquale. All in favor? Motion is carried. Please stay here for the next